So we're on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. And we're approximately, I would say, about 12 lines down from the top. And we're on the verge of concluding the sugya that we had before. Let's just see. Okay, wait a second. I'm just going to take a minute just to go back. And we had a sugya that we finished yesterday about Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we came to the conclusion that we will recite Shechiyonu on both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we also came to the conclusion that although L'chadchila, if everything was equal, like for example at Rosh Hashanah, we would integrate the Shechiyonu into the Kiddush so that we've Masadar HaKos, but nevertheless, that's not critical. And you can recite Shechiyonu even in the absence of a Kos. And that for sure is going to be the case with regard to Yom HaKippur. Then we began yesterday a new sugya, and the subject of which is no longer Shechiyonu, but rather Tainios, fast days. And we discussed the question of those students in the yeshiva who apparently had a minog to fast on Erev Shabbos. Should they continue their fast into Shabbos? Or shall they break their fast before the entry of the onset of Shabbos? And it all revolves around the question of the Iser Tainus on Shabbos that we said would be a bittul essay or a violation of an Iser essay of the Karasa L'Shabbos Onek. And the question came up in front of various Rabbonim, and they were not able to answer the question. And all this was, again, the two Gersos, whether it's Rabbah or Rava, let's assume, for argument's sake, it was Rabbah. And Rabbah said that I'm going to answer this question based on a brice. And this brice is also going to discuss a question of fasting on Shabbos. So the brice of first discusses the case of Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, and that's what we call a Nidche, and we're going to postpone the fasting until Sunday. In that case, the issue is going to be whether we begin our fast on Shabbos itself right after the Suda Mafsekes, and then on the top of Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the Braisa continues and discusses the opposite scenario where Tisha B'Av coincides with Erev Shabbos. And let me just one second. Just get my head on straight. So we have the case of Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, and now we have a case of Tisha B'Av. We still have Tisha B'Av on Sunday, but the second case, which is on the top of Daf Mem Aleph, is not a Nidche, but rather it's a case where Tisha B'Av actually fell on a Sunday. So again, in both cases, when Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, we have the issue of Suda Mafsekes on Shabbos. And the Braisa completely negates Suda Mafsekes on Shabbos, but rather Ochel V'Shosa Kol Tzarko, and he's not going to limit himself to to two Tavshilin and prohibiting Yayin and Basar, and all those Didim are completely suspended. Okay, Now the Braisa gets to the case which is most strikingly similar to our question about whether or not someone who's fasting on a Friday continues his fast into Shabbos in order to be what's called Mashlim Taniso, even though it would seem that he's violating the mitzvah of Oneg. And the case is where Tisha B'Av is on a Friday. So that if he fasts on Friday, again, this cannot happen in our calendar, but it could happen in the old calendar, right? So if he fasts on Friday, then if he continues to be Mashlim his Tainus, then he's going to enter into Shabbos in a state of Ma'una, meaning in a Tainus situation. And here we're going to have a gigantic controversy about this, but the Braisa that we're studying now reflects the position that we're not going to allow you to be Mashlim your Tainus, and he's going to actually, as we'll see in Rabbi Akiva, he's going to break his fast before the entry, the onset of Shabbos, by eating a very small amount, a beitzah, so that he doesn't violate the Isur Tainus on Shabbos. And the Braisa number two, the second Braisa, records a story in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, which apparently Rabbi Yehuda advocates in favor of the psak of the story, that Rabbi Akiva, when it was a Friday Tisha B'Av, before the end of the fast, he would ask for a partially roasted egg that was still in a kind of a soft liquidy form, and he would drink it. And although he didn't spice it. Now, the language of the Braisa is somewhat challenging because the Braisa says that the reason why Rabbi Akiva did this was to teach his Talmidim that they should be breaking their fast rather than entering into Shabbos in a fasting mode. And all the Achronim ask Per Echad unanimously, what's going on over here? Why is Rabbi Akiva doing this in order to teach his Talmidim? If he holds halacha that you are not allowed to enter into Shabbos in a fasting situation, then forget about the Talmidim. No one's around. He would still have to eat a Beitza Megulgelas. And the Achronim say that the emphasis here is Lo Hoya Ta'ev La. Rabbi Akiva was totally oblivious to the fast, so to speak. He didn't really have to eat anything. And therefore, if he was alone without his Talmidim, despite the fact that he would continue his Tainus of Tisha B'Av and be Mashlim the Tainus into Shabbos, that would not constitute a violation of Oneg Shabbos because he's not hungry. I mean, we don't require that for 24 hours on Shabbos you eat nonstop. You eat when you're hungry. And when you're hungry and you eat, you're Makai the Mitzvah of Oneg. But here, we have a situation in which Rabbi Akiva is not hungry, whatever that means. He's certainly not toiv lachila, he's not dying of hunger. And therefore, for him to continue his fast, if he were alone, into Shabbos, would not undermine the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. But he did so anyway, he broke his fast before the outset of Shabbos to demonstrate to his Talmidim, who presumably would be Toiv Lechol, that they're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, and in this head-on collision between the Isur fasting on Tainus and the mitzvah, let's call it a mitzvah derabbanan of Tisha B'Av, of fasting on Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av has to kowtow in the greater overriding power and authority and sanctity of Shabbos. Maybe fasting on Shabbos, we mentioned yesterday, might be, according to one of the Rishonim at least, a violation of a Doraisa. Again, how could you say it's a Doraisa when it's a Pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi, V'karasal Shabbos Oneg, Das Vesechnisht? I think I once heard from the Rav, but I don't want to get into this now, that Yeshayo was only interpreting the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zocharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, that the reason or the method by which we make Shabbos into the Holy Shabbos, in which it's a different day than any other day, we need what's called the Shvisa Nikeres, is that's where Yeshayahu HaNavi is going to teach me. Again, we always have to be very careful. It means Yeshayahu, not B'Toras Navi, but Yeshayahu B'Toras, one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. He's going to teach us exactly how to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zocharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So it could be that's what the Rashba holds, that the Isur Tainus on Shabbos is d'oraisa, and therefore that's going to override the mitzvah of Tainus on Tisha B'Av, which is only d'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mis'ane U'Mashlim. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Tisha B'Av trumps Shabbos in this context, and he should complete his Tainus and not worry about the fact that for the first half hour of Shabbos, he's not going to be eating. He's going to be fasting. And there's no question in my mind, at least, that Rabbi Yossi is going to require him to be mashlim his tainus. That's an absolute requirement based on the mitzvah of fasting on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yossi's chiddush is that trumps the so-called undermining or violating the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And here I want to mention to you a quote from a sefer called Nachlas Yoshua. And he says that according to the first opinion, before Rabbi Yossi, which we identify with Rabbi Yehuda, even though again we're talking about Rabbi Akiva really, but Rabbi Yehuda is quoting this story of Rabbi Akiva in order to be a proponent of that halacha. He says that Lidas Rabbi Yehuda im hayu mitztayer, if he was toiv lechol, such that now entering into Shabbos without breaking his fast on Tisha B'Av would bring him into a state of tsar, then asur lo lahashlim, he would not be allowed to continue fasting and have part of Shabbos as a tainus. Ukisha eino mitztayer, if on the other hand he's not in a state of tsar, then it's up to him. He has two options, both of which are valid in halacha. That's called, in the language of this achron, mutar lo lahashlim. He's allowed to continue fasting because he's not in a state of tsar. Uledas Rab Yossi, li'olam chayev lahashlim. So that when Rabbi Yehuda says he's not allowed to continue his fast, it's a case where he's mitztayer. And by being mitztayer, he's violating Shabbos, the mitzvah of Oneg, and therefore he has to break his fast. But if he's not mitztayer, then he has two options. And Rabbi Yossi holds that even in the case of mitztayer, he's got to complete his fast. That's the opinion of the Nachlas Yoshua. Then he quotes another achron, again, I'm not so familiar with it, the Nachal HaRavim, and he's of the opinion that according to Rabbi Yossi, in a case of mitztayer, which Rabbi Yehuda says that he's not allowed to fast, Rabbi Yossi allows him to fast. In a case where he's not mitztayer, then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he has two choices. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he has to continue his fast if he's not mitztayer. Okay. Amalehen, Rabbi Yossi turns to Rabbi Yehuda and those chachamim that accepted Rabbi Yehuda's view that he doesn't have to be mashlim the tainis. Is iatem modim li b'tisha b'av shechalios b'yechid b'shabbos? We had those cases where he's fasting on a Sunday. Tisha B'Av was either on that Sunday, or it was on Shabbos and it was pushed off to the Sunday. In both of those cases, The halacha is that, again, this is not the opinion that was embodied in the Braisa on the top of this Amud, but rather the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And the halacha is mafsik mibojo, that he has to be makabel tainus, or shall we say he has to begin his tainus before the onset of Shabbos. Amru lo avo, and the Chachamim conceded to that position of Rabbi Yossi, again against the Braisa that we started with today, that he will have to desist from eating on Erev Tisha B'Av. On Erev Tisha B'Av, even though it's Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi's argument, as we'll soon see, is that that's a tainus on Shabbos. In other words, for the sake of the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av, to fulfill that obligation, we will fast on Shabbos. Now again, Rabbi Yossi, keep in mind that Rabbi Yossi is grabbing from two ends of the spectrum. The chiddush of Rabbi Yossi is that we're not allowed to fast at the end of the fast going into Shabbos. That was the case where Tisha B'Av was on a Friday. But he's going to prove his point that Tisha B'Av trumps Shabbos, as far as tightness is concerned, from a case of the beginning of Shabbos, which means that if Tisha B'Av, from the beginning of the fast of Tisha B'Av, meaning from the end of Shabbos. So again, I understand very well that the Chachamim will reject Rabbi Yossi and object to Rabbi Yossi of being mashlim the tainus when he's starving and he's mitztayer. That's a no-no on Shabbos. But in Rabbi Yossi's mind, the whole issue is conceptual. Conceptual in the sense that Rabbi Yossi holds that we have to analyze one question and one question only. In a confrontation between the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av and the Isur Tainus on Shabbos, and again, the Isur Tainus on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, is conceptual. You cannot have a Chal Hashem Tainus on Shabbos. That's something that's absolutely antithetical to Shabbos, unless you're doing so for the sake of the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av. And now Rabbi Yossi has a perfect analogy from the one end to the other end. From the case where Tisha B'Av is on Friday and you're ending your fast creeping into Shabbos, or the case of Tisha B'Av on Sunday where you're beginning your fast on Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos. Again, physically, there's a world of a difference between the two cases. I mean, in the case where he was fasting on Friday, he's dying of hunger going into Shabbos, that should be a problem. In the case where he's observing the beginning of Tisha B'Av on the Erev Tisha B'Av that's at the end of Shabbos, there he's got a full belly, as we said before. You don't have to continuously eat for 24/7 on Shabbos, for 24 hours, I should say, of Shabbos. But Rabbi Yossi is completely oblivious of that physical distinction. He wants to know, in halachic terms, he's like a brisker lamdin, is there tainus on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av? And there's no difference whether you are ending your tainus into Shabbos in the case where Tisha B'Av is on Friday, or where you're beginning your tainus on Shabbos in the case where, just one second, I'm sorry, there's no difference according to Rabbi Yossi between the case of Tisha B'Av on Friday, I'm not sure if I got that right the first time, but now I think I got it right, or your Tisha B'Av is on Sunday and you're beginning your fast on Erev Tisha B'Av, which means on Shabbos in the afternoon. And therefore, Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yossi says to the Chachamim, Mali li kanes ba kishuma una, mani lotes mimena kishuma una. What difference does it make between the case of Tisha B'Av on Friday, where he's entering into Shabbos in the state of Ma'una, and he's continuing his Tainus and fulfilling the mitzvah of Tainus on Shabbos, as opposed to the case where Tisha B'Av is on Sunday? There too, he's going to be Ma'una going into, he's going to be Ma'una, I should say going into Tisha B'Av, but on Shabbos itself, because he's going to begin his Tainus on Shabbos. Now again, I said to you that this contradicts the Braisa on the top of the Amud. Maybe I was exaggerating, because the Braisa on the top of the Amud wants to know about Suda Mafsekis. But that might be a separate, independent issue about whether the mitzvah of Suda Mafsekis applies in a case where Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday. But no doubt, and that's the aval here, no one's going to deny or question the premise that he's got to start his fast in a case where Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, on Shabbos itself. Call it 60 seconds, I don't care, but somehow, you know, before the end of Shabbos and before the onset of nightfall and Tisha B'Av, he's got to fast, he's got to start his fast. Again, he may eat a kishloba, kesuda, shloba, melch, b'shaito for shalosh shudas, but at some point, he's got to terminate his shalosh shudas and begin his fast. And nobody denies that. That's the aval. So the Chachamim respond with the simple distinction that we mentioned before. Omru lo, im amarto lotzeis mimenu, sharei ochal v'shosa kol hayom. He has eaten to his heart's desire during the entire Shabbos, and now he's going to stop for just a short amount of time. That's not called meuna. He's not physically deprived or depraved. It's tomar li kanes bak shu meuna. You're talking about now a Tisha B'Av on a Friday. Lo acha v'lo shosa kol yom kula. The man is literally falling apart from 24 hours of fasting. And now you're going to tell me that he's going to continue his fast into Shabbos in a state of Ma'una that I cannot tolerate, say the Chachamim. We cannot tolerate that. And again, you know, I was trying to work overtime to explain the logic of Rav Yossi, because the distinction between the beginning and the end of Shabbos is so absolutely crystal clear. You don't have to be a great lamdan to figure that out. What was Rabbi Yossi thinking? And the answer is, he's defining tainus not in terms of the physical state of ma'uneh, but in terms of the kiyum mitzvahs tainus. And if there's a kiyum mitzvahs tainus, that sets up a chal shem tainus. You know, it reminds me by sheer association of the Shitas HaMachaber, that the whole year round you recite a Borei Mina Mizonos on Matzah, but on Pesach you recite a Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. And he says that what generates a Shem Lechem in the case of Matzah, such that you could recite the Brach Hamotzi, it's the Chovah, the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. You know, that transforms the Matzah into a whole other entity. And the Rav Zichron of Racha applied this logic to Purim, where there's a mitzvah of Suda on Purim. I think he quoted his father to say that there are different halachas of Bracha in Sudas Purim as opposed to the rest of the year because of the mitzvah of Achila on Purim. In any event, you see that sometimes the definition of an entity is not physical. You know, how much are you Ma'una or you're not Ma'una? So at the end of Tisha B'Av, you're Ma'una going into Shabbos in the case of Tisha B'Av on Friday. In the case of starting your fast on Sunday, meaning on Erev Sunday, at the end of Shabbos, after you're full from all the food that your wife prepared for you during the course of Shabbos, and there you're not ma'una by fasting for 1 minute, it doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's the same exact halacha because it is a chal shem tainus. There's a chiyuv tainus, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tainus. And that's the iser that should have applied according to the logic of the Chachamim, say Rabbi Yossi. They should have accepted that that's an iser of tainus on Shabbos, even in the absence of inui, of physical inui. Whereas the Chachamim are saying no, that to undermine the mitzvah of the karasal Shabbos oneg, you would have to be in a state of inui. And that's the iser achila of that should apply over here. So Rabbi Yossi says that whichever direction you can, even whether you're hungry, you're not hungry, that's irrelevant. It's always going to be a head-on collision between the mitzvah of tainus and the mitzvah of oneg. I have a footnote here in the name of the Ksav Sofer. He says, Inui eno mashu ro'ev lechol, ela etzem iser achila hu ha'inui. Yeah, I think he's saying what we're saying. I just have to change the words a little bit. When he says etzem iser achila, he means the kiyum tainus. The chal shem kiyum chovas tainus is itself called inui. It doesn't matter whether you're in a state of inui or not. The Omar Ula, Halacha Kirab Yossi. We're going to paskin like Rab Yossi, that if a person is fasting on Erev Tisha B'Av, if a person is fasting on Erev Shabbos, then he's mashlim his tainus on Shabbos, even though it means that his fast is penetrating into the territory of Shabbos. And if that be the case, says Rava, based on this ruling of Ula, that Allah is Kirab Yossi's Mashlim is Tainus on Shabbos, we can answer the original question about the minug of those Talmidim who would fast on Erev Shabbos. They will be Mashlim the Tainus into the night of Shabbos. So now the Gemara first takes a break and asks about this psak of Ula. Is it really so that we will paskin like Rab Yossi? Okay. All right. Now, I worked very hard on this next Gemara. I'm not promising anything. It's complicated. Again, it's not Masechta Erevin, but it's complicated anyway. And ultimately, this entire sugya that we're learning is going to spill back on the original Suffolk of Rabba, because, you know, when you're talking about Tisha B'Av and you're going to trump Shabbos with a little bit of a tightness on Shabbos for the sake of Tisha B'Av, I don't know if that's going to justify the minhag of a Talmidim who decided that they took upon themselves a chumrah of fasting on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, we're going to allow them the same leniency or apply the same obligation which Rabbi Yossi would apply to be mashlim their tainus, even though it spills over into Shabbos. I mean, you know, Tisha B'Av is one thing, and Tisha B'Av is a drabbanon, but nevertheless, it's a drabbanon of a tainus tzibur that, you know, fits the pattern of Yom HaKippurim. It's one thing, but you know, the minhag of Talmidim to fast on Friday, and therefore they should continue their fast into Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's a bit of a leap of faith. But all that is going to come to the fore after we study a Gemara in Masechta Tainis. So mi avdinin k'Rabbi Yossi v'Raminu. We have a contradiction to Rabbi Yossi from a sugya Masechta Tainis on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. And the sugya Masechta Tainis is going to posit a different kind of a head-on collision. And that is between a Tainis Tzibur, which is Nebuch, if there's a Tzara, or if there's no rains that are falling down, a famine in the land. And sometimes that Tainis Tzibur, which is called the Gzera, conflicts with other days in the calendar, in the Hebrew calendar, which require achila and prohibit and generate an Iser of Tainis. Ein gozrin Tainis al atzibur berashei chadashim. Now, when we talk about gzera of a Tainis, in a case of Geshamim or Tzara, then it's an entire series of fast days. So, for example, they'll start on one Monday, and then they'll fast on Thursday, and then if the rains don't come down, they'll increase the number of days. That's half of Masechta Tainis addresses the entire Seder Atainios in a case of a Tainis Tzibu. So that the original Gzera is not on one particular day, it's on a whole series of days. And now, when the Rabbanon realize that by starting this series on a particular Monday, they look at the Hebrew calendar and they realize that down the line, you know, next Thursday or whatever it is, they're going to be in conflict with Rosh Chodesh or with Chanukah or Purim, all days which generate an Iser Tainis, Iser, what we call Hespe B'Tainis, and therefore they should not enact those days, that series of Tainios, in such a way that down the line it will conflict with one of these three holidays, minor holidays. But v'yimis chilu, if they made a gzera to fast for the Geshamim or the Tzara, and they began already fasting, is then ein mafsik. That means they'll have to continue fasting, according to the Tanakama, who is Rabbi Gamliel, even on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. And again, the most complicated case of these three is Purim, because on Purim it says Yom Mishteh V'Simcha, and that means a mitzvah of achila. You know, in the case of Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, those two cases, you don't have a mitzvah of achila. You know, it's very nice if you want to, you know, set up a Rosh Chodesh meal or a Chanukah meal, but you're not required to do so. Whereas in the case of Purim, you have no choice. It's a Yom Mishteh V'Simcha, which generates a chiyuv achila, chiyuv suda. However, Rashi says in Masechta Tainis that there's a difference between Purim and Yontif. Yontif is called a Moed. Purim is not called a Moed. And despite the fact that the Torah, that the Megillah says Yom Mishteh V'Simcha with regard to Purim, it still doesn't reach up to that level of a Moed. And therefore, the Iser of fasting on Purim still is reducible, if you will, to Divrei Chachamim. And the nafkamina is going to be, if they already started fasting in this series of days, then that, the tokef, the, shall we say, the authoritative power of fasting a Tainis Tzibur is going to overpower the Drabbanon of an Iser Tainis, even in the case of Purim, because it's a, despite the fact that it's a Yom Mishteh V'Simcha, that's because of the tremendous emphasis and power of Tainis Tzibur. So we have two gzeros. We have a gzera of Tainis, and we have a gzeros Chachamim that you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to fast on Purim, And the first, the former, will trump this, the latter. But again, that's only because we're dealing with the Rabbanans over here. We're not dealing with a Moed, which generates a mitzvah of Simcha and Suda on a Doraisa, level. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Meir, Afalpi, Sheomar Rabban Gamliel, She'ein Mafsikin, that if we began fasting, we're going to continue our fast, even on Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, and Purim, but Moda Hoya, She'ein Mashlimim. Rabban Gamliel will concede that on these days of Tainios, which are called Tainios Tzibur, we will eat before nightfall. Which is very strange when you think about it. Again, I'm not a Bucky in Hilchus Tainios. There is an entity called the Tainis Shaos, but nobody knows exactly what that is. I mean, I once heard a shiur from the Rav on this. He was having a lot of problems with it. Basically, a Tainis is an all or nothing proposition. You know, either you finish the Tainis and complete it or you don't. But here's a case where even Rabbi Gamliel, who says we will fast, we won't fast, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Gamliel only meant that we should fast, but up until nightfall. But before nightfall, what we call Mibojom, we're going to have to break our fast. And why? Because it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Hanukkah, or it's Purim. Okay. Now Rabbi Meir goes one step further and he says the following. Now keep in mind just one technicality here, that when Rabbi Meir uses the term, where is it? Modehaya, do you see those words? Underline those words, Modehaya, She'ein Mashlimin. It implies a phantom bar plukta. Do you follow? Whenever it says in a Mishnah, Braisa, Gemara, Mode, it means he's Mode to the Chachamim, or to those who disagree with him. In other words, we have here Machloket Shrin Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Meir is whittling down this Machloket. He's limiting it. According to Rabbi Gamliel, you fast on these 3 days, again after Maskilim, and according to Chachamim, despite the fact that you began this whole series of Tanios, you will not fast at all on these 3 days. Comes along Rabbi Meir, don't think that the Machlokas is min ha-kotze al ha-kotze, from one polar extreme to the other. Rabbi Gamliel only meant that you should fast most of the day, but he admits you cannot create a Yom Tainus on these 3 days. These 3 days on a Drabbanan level require that you eat and generate an Easter Tainus, and they repel and reject the possibility of converting any of those days into a Yom Tainus. Says Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Gamaliel agrees to that. You cannot convert Hanukkah into Yom Tainus, etc. And you're going to have to eat Mibojom before nightfall. The only difference is that Rabbi Gamliel requires fasting, and again, we're not sure exactly how to define the nature of the beast here. What does it mean to fast and then break your fast before nightfall? We'll call it a Tainus Shos, and it is some sort of Kiyum Tainus. Even though it's Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh, and Purim, we do allow a Kiyum Tainus, but not to create a Yom Shel Tainus. And the Chachamim will not even tolerate a Tainus Shos on any of these 3 days, because to the extent that that's also a Kiyum Tainus, it's antithetical to those days that have an Isur Tainus. And later on in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to have a discussion about what's called Megillas Tainios, which means that there are a whole bunch of days on the Hebrew calendar where you're not allowed to fast, and there are a whole bunch of days on the calendar where we do fast. But we're more interested in those days where we're not allowed to fast because there was a Yeshua, there was a redemption. I mean, that's the whole issue of Yom HaTzma'ut, by the way. You know, does the Halacha recognize Yom HaTzma'ut? And the answer is, well, since in Megillus Tainis, we have days that are specified, singled out in the calendar, which are not official days. They are sort of unofficial days that were established by Megillus Tainis because of the redemption of those days. So if the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael was redeemed on Yom HaTzma'ut, I mean, it's a little bit of a problem because I'm not exactly sure what happened on Hei Iyar. They signed the declaration, but be that as it may, if we view the establishment of the State of Israel as the redemption, then it should fit under that concept called Megillus Tainis. So I don't know if you have to do a naf according to Halacha on Yom HaTzma'ut, but certainly you're not allowed to fast on Yom HaTzma'ut. According to this line of reasoning. Okay, fine. Maybe we'll get a chance to discuss that. Now Rabbi Meir continues, and he says, V'chein b'tisha b'av shechalios b'erev Shabbos. So we have now Tisha B'av on Friday, and Rabbi Gamliel is going to admit that we have to eat before the end of the Tainis. And the reason for that is because of Shabbos. So just like Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Gamliel admits that in the cases of Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, you have to terminate your fast before nightfall. In deference to the day of an Isur Tainis, so too, by extension, says Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Gamliel would admit that if you would complete your Tainis of Tisha B'Av, and it would encroach upon the Isur Tainis of Shabbos, then you have to end your Tainis Mibojo before nightfall. And the assumption here that underlies Rabbi Meir is that the status of Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh is similar to the status of Shabbos. And the flip side is that he's analogizing, if there's such a verb, the status of a Tainis Tzibur for Geshamim with that of Tisha B'Av. So we have a perfect parallel here. We've got Tisha B'Av and Tainis Tzibur for Geshamim on one side of the equation, and we have an Isur Tainis of Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos on the other side of the equation. So what wins out? And the answer is, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Gamliel works out a compromise. Right? It's tzedek tirdof. The extra tzedek means work out a mediation. How do we mediate between, on the one hand, the mitzvah of tainis of a tainis tzibur or Tisha B'Av, and the other hand, the Isur tainis of Chanukah Purim, etc., and Shabbos? We're going to say that you'll fast, according to Rabbi Gamliel. In that sense, the mitzvah of Tainis trumps. But on the other hand, we're not going to complete the Tainis. And in deference to the mitzvah of Achila, or at least in the case of Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, the Isur Tainis, we're going to complete and terminate our Tainis Mibojo. That's Braisa number one. Braisa number two, Vitanya. Li'achar p'tiroso shel Rabbi Gamliel, nichnas Rabbi Yoshua lehofer es dvarov. Now, why Rabbi Yoshua waited until after the death of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I don't know. This has to do with Allah of Emeshim and Asari b'fonov. So they had the respect for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but after Rabbi Gamliel died, there's a girsa problem here. One girsa is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Our girsa is Rabbi Gamliel. Then Rabbi Yoshua wanted a paskin that for the sake of the mitzvah of Tainis, we should be mashlim the Tainis on Erev Shabbos, which would reflect the shita of Rabbi Yossi. And the shita of Rabbi Yossi is that we will, for the benefit of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av, of Tainis, we will, so to speak, violate or encroach on the Isur Tainis of Shabbos. Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuriel Raglofi Omar. Chazei ana de basa resha gufa azil. In this din, the guf, the body, should follow the head. And the head here is a metaphor for the earlier generation, meaning the generation of Rabbi Gamliel. The guf is a metaphor for the later generation. And it means that kol yomav shel Rabbi Gamliel kavanu alocha kemosa achshav ata mevakesh levatel dvarav Yoshua ein shomin lecha shekvar nikva alocha kerabbi Gamliel v'lo hoya adam she'irer bedavar klum. So Rabbi said we could probably spend an hour just on these words, but that's not relevant for us. What we're interested in is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that since in his time, in his generation, while Rabbi Gamliel was alive, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, therefore we cannot change the halacha and we cannot undermine and invalidate the psak halacha. We've already accepted the halacha, and therefore he calls him by his first name, he calls him Yoshua. He says, I'm not going to allow anyone to listen to you to undermine the psak halach that's already established, like Rabbi Gamliel. And no one had the chutzpah to stand up in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and defend Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, now we have to swing back to Ula. And Ula, if you remember, said that we paskin halacha like Rabbi Yossi. Then in the case of Tisha B'Av on Friday, we continue fasting into Shabbos. And Rabbi Gamliel said that in this case we fast, but we have to terminate our fast because, heaven forbid, we're not allowed to continue and extend our fast into Shabbos and violate the Iser Tainis on Shabbos. So if this be the case, let's go back to Ula. Ula said that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and we continue fasting even into Shabbos. We see clearly from these two brisos that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, and we have to, and the way Rabbi Meir interpreted Rabbi Gamliel, we have to terminate our fast before Shabbos. We have to eat something. We'll take the soft-boiled egg, and we'll eat it on Shabbos, before the end of Tisha. So how could Ula paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara answers, Bidoro shel Rabbi Gamliel, Avud ki Rabbi Gamliel, Bidoro shel Rabbi Yossi, Avud ki Rabbi Yossi. Again, you know, we have to understand how this works in terms of the development of halacha. That's an issue that has to be taken under advisement. But just to understand the Gemara, in terms of the mechanics, there are two generations. There's one generation of Rabbi Gamliel. And even after his death, we have accepted the halacha like Rabbi Gamliel. But then, in a subsequent generation, Rabbi Yossi, paskin, that no, we're going to continue, or at least allow, continuing our fast of Tisha B'Av on Friday into Shabbos. Ula is going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi because it became the accepted normative halach. The custom was to accept Rabbi Yossi in Rabbi Yossi's later generation. And all Ula is really telling us is that we accepted Rabbi Yossi beginning with his generation, although in an earlier generation they had accepted the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, you would not continue fasting into Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "This you're making a big mistake over here. I'm going to prove to you that even during the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they did not follow Rabbi Gamliel's principle, his halacha's ruling." Says the Gemara, in a rhetorical question, Ubidoro shel Rabbi Gamliel, Avud ki Rabbi Gamliel? They would terminate their fast on Erev Shabbos? Is that really true? For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omar Rab Lazar, Berebi Tzadik, Ani Hayisi Mibnei Snaav Ben Binyamin. I was amongst the family called Snaav from Shevet Binyamin. And these members, this family, took upon itself a Yontif and an Isur Tainis on the 10th of Av. Because my forefathers, says Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, from Snaav, the children of Snaav and of Shevet Binyamin, when they came on Aliyah with Ezra, and the second Beis HaMikdash was built, again, keep in mind, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is after the Churban. So you're talking many, many centuries later, but he goes back, 420 years back to his Alta Zeda. And he says that in my Mishpacha, already at the time of the Binyan Abayis of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they divvied up the what's called the contribution of Eitzim, and what that means is that the Beis HaMikdash needed a lot of wood to keep the fire in the Mizbeach going. So they divvied up the whole year, and different Mishpachos would be responsible for different days of the calendar year. So you had 365 Mishpachos be Israel, and each one had a day, which was his day of bringing the Eitzim, of contributing the Eitzim for the Maruch on the Mizbeach. And they took a lottery. And my Mishpacha, again, many, many centuries earlier, their lottery fell on the 10th of Av. So the 10th of Av was a Yontif in my Mishpacha. Because the halacha is, and this is a Gemara Pesachim, if I remember correctly, that on the day that you bring a karban to the Mizbeach, that day is a day of Simcha. That's a day of Lifnei Hashem, of Simcha. And it's a Mitzas Yontif. And it generates an Iser Hesped V'tainis. Fine. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik tells us the following. Pam Achas, Chal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Shabbos. Udechinu Liachar Shabbos. So we fasted on the 10th of Av. Now, at this point, we have another head-on collision between an Iser Tainis and a Mitzvah Tainis. Why? Because the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av is now pushed off to the 10th of Av. So now we have a chiv to fast on the 10th of Av. I'm not allowed to fast on the 10th of Av because that's a yontif for my family. So what did we do? This anubo velo hishlam nuhu. What we did was we fasted on the 10th of Av like the rest of Klal Yisrael, but we ate Mibodjom before the end of the fast, in deference for that day, which is the day of Eitzim, of Korban Eitzim, Ibnei Sheyontiv Shalonu Hayu. Because for us, that day was established on the calendar as a day of Yontiv, because we brought the Korban Eitzim. And whenever you bring a Korban, it's a Yontiv for you. And our Goral fell out on the 10th of Av. So now on the 10th of Av, we're in a conflict situation because it's a Tisha B'Av Nidche and a Tainis Tzibur, but on the other hand, it's a Yontif for us. So what compromise did we work out? This is the compromise of Rabban Gamliel, as we said before, and you would fast but not complete the fast. Okay, fine. So the Gemara is Medayik from Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, Taima de Yontif. The only reason why he wasn't mashlim in the Tainis is because it was Yontif, because that day was the day of Korban Eitzim for that family. The implication is Ha Erev Yontif. If there was a day of Tainis on Erev Yontif, in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is pointing out that we have a head-on collision. That day of the 10th of Av is both a day of Tainis and a day of Yontif. Here we have to solve that problem by terminating our fast early before the end of the day, implying that if we had an overlap conflict, for example, let's say the Yom Tinus was on Erev Yontif, which would mean that he would fulfill the mitzvah of Tinus and then encroach a little bit on Yontif by continuing his fast day after nightfall into Yontif, then Mashlimim. Then the implication of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Gamliel, is that we would continue the fast. Here we have Rabbi Gamliel saying that if the fast day of Tisha B'Av is on Friday, then we have to terminate our fast prematurely before nightfall because the deference for Shabbos, which is the Nisa Tainus. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is saying about the exact same case that you would be mashlim the Tainus, and it seems that the minig was like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, which again is during the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they were contemporaries, that they would be mashlim the tainus, not like Rabbi Gamliel, who would say and argue that lola hashlim a tainus and Tisha B'Av shechal liyos be'erev Shabbos or be'erev Yontif, and they would know to be mashlim the tainus like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore the Gemara says that your answer, which you offered to defend Ula, that Enim Chinami Ula has the right to paskin like Rabbi Yossi in a later generation, because they only paskin like Rabbi Gamliel in his generation. So you're assuming that during the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, and you would terminate your tainus early. That's not true, because we see from Rabbi Elazar Bereb Tzadik that the halacha, even though he was a contemporary of Rabbi Gamliel, was against Rabbi Gamliel, was like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Avina, Shani Yontif Shel Divrehem, Mitoch Shenevs Anim Bo Shaos, Mashlimim Bo Arvios. Shabbos, Holvi, Ein Misanim Bo Shaos, Ein Mashlimim Bo Arvios. In other words, we're going to accept Rabbi Gamliel. And in the case of Tisha B'Av Shechal Liyos Be'erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to continue your fast into Shabbos. And that's because the Iser Tainus on Shabbos is an Iser Shos, meaning that even if you're only fasting at the very beginning of Shabbos, for the first half hour, the first hour of Shabbos, you violate the Iser Tainus on Shabbos. And that's where we're going to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, against Rabbi Yossi, and he's going to have to crack his egg on Tisha B'Av before he enters into Shabbos. He cannot begin Shabbos in a fast because that would be a violation of Ein Misanin Bo Shos. However, if you're talking about a Yontif D'Rabbanan, like for example, we're talking about a day in which we bring a karbon eitzim, there we could be more mekil if that day happens to coincide with a mitzvah of Tisha B'Av. Again, it's a nidche, but a mitzvah of tainis. And there we're going to allow you to fast your tainis of Tisha B'Av, asiri B'Av in this case, into your yontif, as long as it's only a tainis shos. No, I'm sorry. I meant to say the following, that since a tainis shos would be mutter on this yontif, and the only isur is a full-fledged tainis, so we see that comparing this kind of a yontif shel divrayim with Shabbos, which is more than just the Yontif Shel Divrayim, and the Nafkamina we saw was, as far as Titus shows, on a Yontif Shel Divrayim, you're allowed to fast the Titus shows. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast the Titus shows. So we have this Kula that applies to a Yontif Shel Divrayim, Again, we're not talking about Yontif Doraisa, you know, of the three regalim where the Torah says V'samachta V'chagecha. We're talking about a Yontif Midrabanan. So in such a case, is Mashlimim Bo Arvios. We can be Mekil, even if it means fasting on Erev Yontif, and being Mashlim the Tainis on Yontif. Why? Because by being Mashlim the Tainis on Yontif, you are basically fasting a Tainis Shos, and although a Tainis Shos is meaningful, and it is a Kiyum Tainis, but nevertheless, it's mutter on a yontif. What kind of yontif is it mutter on? A yontif shel divrayim. So what we have here is the following. That Ravina is going to answer the following. He's going to offer the following answer. That it's not accurate to say that during the lifetime of Rabbi Gamliel, they rejected Rabbi Gamliel, and we were medayik that from Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. That's not so. Why? Because it could be that Enochidami during the lifetime of Rabbi Gamliel, they pasuk like Rabbi Gamliel, and if you have a fast day like Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos, you would have to break that fast before nightfall, because Shabbos doesn't tolerate Tainus, not even Tainus Shos. Masha Enken, in the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, there, we're talking about a Yontif Shel Divrayim. And in the case of a Yontif Shel Divrayim, Enochinami, even Rav Gamliel would agree that you could be mashal in the Tainus, despite the fact that you would now encroach on that Yontif, because in the case of a Yontif Shel Divrayim, there's no Isur of Tainus Shos. Just let me add one point and then I'll let you go, because I missed this point in the calculation. And that is that the diuk in the Braisa and the transmission of Rabbi Elazar is the following. That it was a Tisha B'Av Nidche, and the fast was going to be on the 10th of Av, and therefore they broke their fast before nightfall. But on a normal Tisha B'Av, apparently, they would fast the entire day. And if they fast the entire day, that would mean that their fasting would encroach on the 10th of Av. Again, a classic Tisha B'Av. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik have any problem with a classic Tisha B'Av? Nein. He only had a problem in the case where Tisha B'Av was being observed on the 10th of Av. And then he would say that you have to stop Mimod Yom, in deference for the fact that the 10th of Av is Yontif for us, for our Karbonetzim. Implying that if on a regular Tisha B'Av, which now on the 9th of Av is Erev Yontif for this family, because the 10th of Av is Yontif, now if he continues fasting past nightfall on the 9th of Av, on a classic every Tisha B'Av year, every year Tisha B'Av, he will now encroach on the Isur Tainus of the 10th of Av. And how is that allowed? Unless, in the Gemara's Havamina, we're rejecting Rabbi Gamliel. So the answer is no, we're not rejecting Rabbi Gamliel. Even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that in a normal Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Elazar would allow fasting the entire Tisha B'Av, because the 10th of Av is a Yontif Shel Divrayim, and there's no Isur Tainus Shows on a Yontif Shel Divrei. It comes out that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, he can reconcile the mitzvah of Tainus of Tisha B'Av with the mitzvah of Yontif for the Korban Eitzim as a Yontif Shel Divrayim in two cases. Both in the case where Tisha B'Av falls out on the 10th of Av, meaning it's a Nidche, and in the case of a classic Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av. And in both cases, he's going to reconcile the fast with the Yontif. How? By making it into a Taina Shos, which means that in the case of a Nidche, of Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av, which is his Yontif, he's going to eat at some point. And that's not a violation of Yontif, Shel Divrei, because it's only a Tainus Shos. He did not convert and transform the day into a Yom Shel Tainus. And in the case of a classic Tisha B'Av, which makes it into a Tainus on Erev Yontif, because the 10th is Yontif, he doesn't have any problem reconciling Tisha B'Av with the 10th of Av, because he's only going to fast after nightfall into the 10th of Av for a short hour, and that's a Tainus Shos, which is Mutter on a Yontif Shel Divrei. So that either way, he can reconcile his Yontif with a Tainus Shel Divrei. So we're going to stop here on Omer Av Yosef Lo Shmili Hashmaitita, which is approximately 7 lines up from the bottom of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph.